Welcome back. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times on this Wednesday afternoon. It's 4:39 on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and on RLTV. And we're pleased to welcome back to the program a regular guy, Charlie Hurt, who writes for the Washington Times, and today is no exception. Washington leaves no room for people of principle.
Yeah, Charlie, the opening line of this is very provocative. Without doubt, the most dangerous place to stand in all of Washington is on your principle. Okay, explain.
Yeah, you know, I do think that's probably the best way for somebody around here to get hurt. And when you watch these political showdowns on the floor, especially when you've got a big thing like this, the debt ceiling and the, you know, whatever they're going to do about the tax cuts and stuff like that, it's always the guys that are trying to stick to their principles that get mowed down first. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the, you know, if you don't take particular joy in all the wheeling and dealing, and then you're going to find yourself in a very uncomfortable situation.
You know, I don't know if you feel this way, but I sense that from the time I was in Congress to now, members, whether they're senators or members of Congress, spend more time training about what they're going to say on the Sunday talk shows than what they're going to say on the floor when they're actually conducting the nation's business.
Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, I remember the first time I ever walked into the House chamber or the Senate chamber, and the strangest thing, having, you know, grown up watching C-SPAN, mm-hmm. and loving listening to the debate and actually thinking debates were going on, you go in there and a guy is standing there or a woman is standing there at the podium making some huge speech to a completely empty chamber. No one is listening.
Yeah.
And then they're not, you know, it's not a debate. There's no argument going on. All of these things are sort of, you know, whatever deals they eventually arrived at in secret. And then prior to that, it's not people just sitting down talking about things. The truth is, if you just took, the first, 100 names in an average phone book, you could probably sit those people down and they could solve probably 90% of the problems that face this country. But these guys, they never do it because they're never listening.
No.
They're never really making, they're not trying to convince anyone of anything.
You know, as an old show business guy, that rattled me more than anything else that I did while I was in the House. I would get up and nobody would be in the audience and I'd say, geez, if I wanted this, I'll go back to doing dinner theater in Paramus, New Jersey.
No kidding.
Really?
And some of the ones that are really good at it, like Dick Durbin, is so comfortable in that situation.
Yeah.
He knows which camera, which C-SPAN camera is on, and he just looks right at the camera.
All right, but Fred, what are they doing? Are they doing it just for the record then?
They're doing it for the record. They're setting up their arguments back and forth for the Sunday shows. But what they're really not doing, and this I think is what you're getting at in your piece, Charlie, is that they're not talking to each other anymore, which is what people sent them to Washington to do.
Yeah, and you know, it's so funny that, you know, we have all these arguments about, say, you know, the lobbyists stir up about parts of Earth abortion, or, you know, they come up with these most extreme examples, mm-hmm. and everything gets locked down on that. And the reason is because that's the only way these people, you know, the lobbyists and the special interest groups, that's how they make money.
Sure.
Is by keeping everybody in their separate corners. And you know, if reasonable people and you know, reasonable Democrats, reasonable liberals, reasonable conservatives, so much of this stuff everyone could probably agree on pretty quickly. But there's no money in that. If problems got solved, then there wouldn't be any more problems. So it's like the whole game is rigged so that they never solve problems.
You know, one of the lines that I took from your piece today is, Washington has become a town of theft and lies. Really? When did that happen?
Yeah.
Although, you know, it's funny, if you go back and you read, like, Mark Twain, and you read some of the wonderful people who covered Congress, you know, 100 years ago, you know, it's funny, you know, so much of what we're realizing today, they were saying back then too. So maybe it's always been like that, but just now they have so much money and they take so much money from taxpayers that it's just so much more obvious and disgusting and terrifying.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen the movie Lincoln yet, but there's a wonderful scene in which a lobbyist who's played by James Spader bumps into a congressman and drops a ton of cash on the floor, gets down on his knees, picks up the cash, and puts it in a folder the congressman is carrying. And I'm thinking the only difference between that and now is it would go right into the guy's account.
Yeah.
It'd be, it
direct
would all
deposit.
Be done direct deposit and digitally.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's so funny how people get so upset about the amount of money that is spent on politics, which, and I get it. I mean, I get why they're saying it. They're saying that because they get tired of all the TV commercials and stuff like that. But let's, you know, be clear. More money is spent on chewing gum every year than is spent by us on politics. The thing that is really disgusting about the politics and the money in politics is the amount of money that the government, that goes to the government, and that the government has this power to throw around, which is what draws all these shady deals. And this deal that we're dealing with right now, you know that they will probably arrive at some half measure that will be a half fix.
Sure.
And it will be arrived at in secret.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday we saw Jay Carney at the White House said, let's get the taxes to where we want them, and then we'll work on the spending cuts. The spending cuts are coming somewhere down the road.
And I think that's probably what we're looking at. They're probably going to agree to a 2% increase today, and then sometime after the first of the year when the new Congress convenes, they'll start talking about, and I want to emphasize talking,
right,
about spending cuts and possible entitlement cuts.
And then they'll what? Bump the rate, the remaining 2% or another percent somewhere down the road?
I don't know. But this is always the promise of tomorrow. And, you know, like the musical, tomorrow never comes.
Yeah.
And did y'all see that story about how 75% of the taxes that the president wants to raise right now, 75% of that difference goes to new spending.
Mm-hmm.
Only 25% goes to retiring debt. So really, the argument, it's a simple argument we're having right now. Do you want to make government bigger or not? Or keep it the same? And obviously, you know, the president wants to make it bigger.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious. Just looking at the first couple of months of this current fiscal year, we've already gone in the hole $300 billion, and now they're looking at a stimulus package that if you add the relief efforts of Hurricane Sandy and how much that guy, I think it was $60 million, $60 billion rather, to $150 billion, we're already a half a trillion dollars in debt this year.
Yeah, but you're missing the point of Charlie's essay here, because that's principle for the administration.
Yeah, you're
spelled
right.
A couple of different ways.
Yeah.
But obviously he looks upon the spending as investment, and that is a deeply held Democratic principle.
Yeah.
Take the people's money and invest it in things that they may not even want.
Really?
And it's been working so well. So let's just it's like the Saturday Night Live skit, more cowbell. Let's just have more cowbell. More government.
That's right.
All right, Charlie. Well, thanks, as always, for joining us. Folks, if you haven't read it, check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. Washington leaves no room for people of principle. It's by Charlie Hurt. We'll talk again. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Always good to be with you guys.
Take care. 4:47, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times. More to come right here. Stay tuned.